smoking, dank Sinatra, that's all gas. On the hunt in a tall grass. Intercepting every ball pass, then I run it back, that's a TD. Check the scoreboard, y'all last, we up one, you see me. Pussy niggas wanna talk about it, go to Hellcat, no demon. I be politicking on your broadcast, at the red carpet like the famous homie. Ask your bitch really famous, homie, and you know it's in me, it ain't on me. So creative like I made Adobe, I've been balling like I play with Kobe.
What's the deal? What's the deal? Politicking the podcast. We back again. Wednesday night, Pacific Standard Time. So we got a slew of topics to get to. The first one we touching on. Should the Miami Heat trade for James Harden after missing out on the Jrue Holiday sweepstakes? And they didn't want to give up certain pieces for Damian Lillard. And now it looks like they're the one that is asked out. They lost their point guard to the Lakers. With Vincent leaving to the Lakers, so that they hedged the bet and came up with nothing. So should they trade for James Harden? Zion Williamson shows up in shape, looking like a bully, buff as hell. And they got Zion Williamson in shape. Does that make the Pelicans with Brandon Ingram contenders in the Western Conference? Then we got the BET Awards, man. So the BET Hip Hop Awards was the other night. And the Carisha Please podcast won the best podcast of the year for the second year in a row. And a lot of the journalists and podcasters out there are like, come on, man, for real? Like, did he got something to do with this? We also got to get to Dak Prescott, man, after throwing three interceptions, losing to the 49ers again. Should the Dallas Cowboys move on from Dak Prescott? And, of course, on a more serious note, we got to touch on this war with Hamas and Israel, because that has biblical implications. It's deeper than just politics. Let's bring in the homies.
What up?
Sadil.
What's good?
So we all seen this offseason, man. Preseason basketball is here right now. Everybody in there trying to get their teams together. The season starts at the end of this month. James Harden is still on the Philadelphia 76ers. The Miami Heat have lost pieces and have added nothing. Should the Miami Heat trade for James Harden as a contingency plan, since they missed out on getting Jrue Holiday and they missed out in the Damian Lillard sweepstakes because it looked like they were the only team? They hedged their bet thinking that they can hold out and end up biting them in the ass. What are y'all thoughts on the Miami Heat? And should they make a trade for James Harden to try to add that with Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler over there in Miami?
Ah, man, as everyone knows, I am not the biggest James Harden fan. James Harden is, even at his peak, was severely overrated to me because he did not play a lick of defense and, you know, an overabundance of travels and flopping to get free throws. You know, with that said, I think Miami did drop the ball by not getting Dame Lillard on the team. I think that not getting Dame Lillard on the team sucks for them because that would have took them a little higher. I think they would have been favorites in the East. They went to the finals last year without Dame Lillard, so with Dame Lillard, they would have took them over the top. But I think James Harden, if they could get him without giving up too many assets, because, I mean, his contract is big, so they're going to have to give. They said they didn't want to give up the players for Dame, so why would they want to give the players up for a lesser player in James Harden? James Harden, if they can get him without giving up key pieces, him in a third role, a third scorer, like a third player role, Jimmy is obviously – you see Jimmy runs out of gas. He always balls out and he runs out of gas, so – having James Harden there would kind of help because he could play make. He could take some of the scoring in the first three quarters. You know, he doesn't show up in the fourth quarter. And Jimmy Butler could be Jimmy Butler in the fourth quarter. So I think James would be a good piece for the Miami Heat. going forward if they were able to not trade so many assets. But I don't see that happening. So I don't think it's a good move because they'll have to give up too much to match the salary. If this was baseball and didn't have the salary cap, it'd be the perfect move. But with the salary cap, it's not that good of a move because they got to give up too much.
No, I agree. Their best bet was going after Dame, and that didn't work out. And then you couldn't even get Drew Holiday. So to me, that's meaning that you're not willing to – there's certain pieces that you're not giving up and that you're just like, okay, I'm not doing it, especially if it ain't Dame. So who you giving up for James Harden? You giving up a Duncan? You giving up Tyler Hero? You already lost Victor Oladipo, so you can't give him up. Draft picks, what are you going to give up for James Harden? Which, at this point in time, it's not really what teams want James Harden. At this point in time, the question should be, what team does James Harden want to go to? Because what's going to happen is you're going to trade for James Harden, and if you ain't the team he wants to be in or be with, all he's going to do is do the same thing he's been doing the last couple seasons. I want to trade. I want to trade. I'm not going to show up to training camp. I'm not going to come to training camp overweight. I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z. All he's going to do is do his little pout and get out. So for a lot of teams, especially like a Miami, you got to go like, hey, does James Harden really want to play here? Because if he doesn't want to play here, it's going to be a headache down the road. And why have that headache down the road when, just like the famous homie was saying, James Harden don't play no defense. Like, his scoring capability is cool and everything, but I'd rather have a non-headache team where I can have three guys make the same contribution offensively that James Harden does with a little bit more defense, at least attempt defense. James Harden doesn't even attempt defense at all. And I just think it's a bad move for the Heat if they go after him. And the last note is, with Heat being with all these little trade rumors and everything, the Heat are now sounding like the Clippers. You know what I'm saying? Clippers go after everybody. Now the Miami Heat going after everybody. I don't know what's going on here.
I think that the trade with the Clippers are going to stand. And if they don't want to take the trade, then James Harden is just going to stay there. And going through all of this just to end up taking the same offer that the Clippers been offered you, you would look stupid if you're Daryl Morey, which you're already on the hot seat. So I think that because Daryl Morey's turned around and said that they're not trading James Harden and not take the Clippers offer, now if he doesn't get an offer better than that, then he's going to look stupid. So I think that the Heat could trade for James Harden without having to give up major pieces at this point. And either way, if he traded to the Heat or he takes the offer from the Clippers, Daryl Morey pretty much is a sinking ship in Philly. And I think, you know, Joel Embiid needs to get out of there. As like we talked about last week, he's just got to find the right destination. But let's get to this team in the West that no one is talking about. But Zion Williamson came into camp in shape for the first time. Now, we've all been talking about LeBron James. Now we're all talking about Victor Wembanyama. But before Victor, this guy was the one that was supposed to be the next guy up, supposed to be the next dominant player, and then he just never stayed in shape and could never stay healthy. But now that we have a healthy Zion Williamson in shape, eating right for the first time, and they have him playing center, he has skills of a point guard, and they have him playing center at that size. What are y'all thoughts on with the Pelicans, with the in-shape buff Zion Williamson Brandon Ingram over there, do they have a shot in the deep West?
What did you say? What did you say when you first started? A team that nobody's talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They still a team that nobody's going to talk about. And nobody cares about the Pelicans. Oh, a healthy Zion Williams. Okay, cool. A healthy Zion Williams. Okay. With a healthy Zion Williams, are the Pelicans taking out the Suns? No. Are the Pelicans taking out Denver? No. Are the Pelicans taking out the Lakers? No. Are they taking out the Clippers? A healthy Clippers? No. Oh, man. They can take out the Kings, but are the Kings going to be up top like they were before? No. Are they taking out the Minnesota Timberwolves? Yeah, they can take out the Minnesota Timberwolves. Are they taking out the Memphis Grizzlies? No. Y'all need to stop sleeping on the Grizzlies, first and foremost, but I'll just leave that alone. D-Rose, keep going. So they're not really taking out anybody. I mean, they will be a good 7th or 18. Are they taking out the Warriors? No. And then the second part of that is, you know, you said that he's in shape. Cool. That's good. It's your career. You know, stay as long as you can. But the second part of that is health. Just because you're in shape doesn't mean you're going to stay healthy. Just because you came back buff don't mean that you're going to stay on the court. I mean, so Pelicans, they're going to do good. Are they going to make it to the Western Conference Finals? No. Are they making it to the play-in? I can see that. Making it to the playoffs? I can see that. But knocking off some of these other teams, I just don't see it. Zion, he good and everything like that, but I just don't see who they knocking out.
I'm actually going to take a different approach to this one. Y'all was saying, homie, he was right. Just because you buff don't mean you're in shape. Don't mean that you're healthy. You're going to stay healthy. Now, Zion Williamson has had his share of ankle problems and certain, knee problems, stuff like that. And he's a big guy, man. He's a huge guy. And he's carrying around a lot of weight. So it remains to be seen if he can actually stay on the court for longer than 30 games. I mean, it's like Anthony Davis. Everybody talks about how dominant Anthony Davis is when he's healthy, he's engaged. And Anthony Davis is never healthy. So you can't say Anthony Davis is so dominant because he plays 40 games a year. And that's just his track record. It's not hating on the man. He's hurt every single year. So Zion has started off his career hurt. Now, if you look at the Pelicans roster and what they were doing last year, they were in first place at the beginning of the year season. The first third of the season, they were right up there in first, second, third place. Zion Williamson is a game changer now. He is. They have Brandon Ingram, who's an all-star, a certified 25-point-a-game scorer. You got C.J. McCollum. He's definitely an 18 to 20-point-a-game scorer. They got a lot of offense over there. I have to remember the rest of the roster, but I know they have a lot of firepower. And Zion Williamson makes them formidable. I think that it just we haven't seen him play late in the season to see what he looks like in the latter part of the season, and we haven't seen him in the playoffs. You know, the playoffs is a different game. He slows the game down. It's no longer an up and down tempo. It's no longer bully ball. Bully ball don't work like that in the playoffs like that. You have to really, really, really take it to another level. So we don't know what Zion is capable of doing. But I think that with him staying healthy, if he is healthy, that's a big if, like just like with Anthony Davis, just like with Kawhi Leonard, just like with Paul George, you know, all these injury-prone guys, LeBron James later in his career, it remains to be seen. But I think they definitely have a roster that can compete with any roster in the West, in my opinion. I think Zion is a game-changer. He can't be stopped. He's unstoppable. Brandon Ingram is a great scorer. You can't really guard him. And McCollum is too. So I think Pelicans healthy. I think they can make some noise. I think they got a chance. I'm not saying they're going to beat anybody, but I think they do got a chance against anybody.
I was going to ask you, who are they knocking out, though?
No mas, yeah. No mas.
I think that they can knock out the Lakers. I think that they can knock out the Clippers. I think they can knock out the Warriors.
I'm surprised.
The Warriors, the Warriors, you got to remember, man, Chris Paul was my favorite player. And he slows the game down significantly. So with Chris Paul in, with that, it's going to have to be a half-court offense. Chris Paul's too old. He doesn't have the hamstrings. He blow a hamstring every year and a half. I mean, he can't run. So if they think that they're going to push the pace with Chris Paul being the starter, I just think that that's not going to work. So I think the pace that the Warriors are going to play at is different. And if they're going with Draymond Green at the five, you got Zion Williamson at the five versus Draymond Green, he's going to bully that old man.
Who's stopping Steph, though?
Yeah, I don't think Chris Paul gonna start. I think they're gonna let him play with the starter some, but I think he's gonna be there to get the, because you know,
and he gets to save his body.
When Steph's out of the game, you notice the Warriors' offense is different. It goes stagnant. You know what I'm saying? Jordan Poole came in throwing up bullshit. You know, Clay is on and off. With Chris Paul. Even as an old man, he knows how to get people easy shots. Like, he's really good at that. So I think with the second unit, he'll stabilize that second unit while Steph is getting rest and breathing room. So I think the Warriors are going to be better than a lot of people think with Chris Paul. As far as them knocking out the Clippers, the healthy Clippers.
Yeah, let's go. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Thank you, Ronnie. Let's go back to that game.
We keep saying Kawhi, but it's also contingent on if PG shows up. Because we haven't seen them play together, but we really haven't seen them both show up in the same damn game.
Yeah.
So it's true. Like, come on, man. Kawhi go off and Paul George have an off night. Y'all, Paul George, we know Kawhi, if he healthy, he going to give it to us. But Paul George, you got to find way more consistency, especially in the playoffs at this point. You can't just go out there. We got the wild card with Westbrook, too. And if you know Westbrook get too crazy, it's a turnover machine. If Kawhi is the main scorer and PG is having an off night and Russell Westbrook decides to take it upon himself, we're very beatable.
I forgot.
I'm going to say it like this. I'm anti LA everything, but I think I'm going to have to defend your boys on this a little bit. At the end of the day, Kawhi Leonard has won how many championships? I don't know. He has two. One of the two championships he won, this man was traded in the middle of the season, went to Toronto, and won a championship. So I get the chemistry and everything like that, but how much chemistry did he really have in Toronto?
Zero.
Not much. Yes, right?
You got a point
too. Your boy Paul George, even though they're not playing together, there's still chemistry. We don't even see each other all the time, and we still got chemistry. So they still practice together. They eat together. There's some kind of chemistry. And when they do click together, they did make it to the Western Conference Finals. So that weighs heavily over a non-experienced Zion Williams. Yep. And the only person that's really like, Ingram played in the playoffs and CJ McCollum played in the playoffs, but the team does not have more experience. Now, the X factor is what you said, because I forgot about the guy too, and hopefully he doesn't. Like, it is. What Westbrook are you going to get? You need PG. You need PG and Kawhi to be like, nah, nigga, sit down. Don't shoot that. Matter of fact, go back to your old ways of just get us 10. You don't even have to get triple doubles. We don't care about triple doubles. Just get us 10 and 10. Just get us a double-double. That's all we need. Still better than the Pelicans. Healthy or not, they still got the experience.
You yeah. see, but the guy youth, man, Zion is a bully. I think that we sleep on Zion because we never got a real dose of Zion. Zion was a prodigy, a once-in-a-lifetime talent. And just because he didn't live up to that so far, the boy is still 25, 26 years old.
Is so he that old? Had,
yes. So he still had – so he has, like, youth. He still has youth on him. So I think that we're going to see the true form of Zion Williamson for the first time in our career. And I think that he's going to be up there in the MVP race if he can stay healthy. We might see Zion for MVP. Because Luka was in it the other year. And I think that he's going to have a breakout year like Luka Doncic did. All right, but let's get to this next topic, man. So we got to get to it.
Let me say one thing to Zion real quick. One thing. Zion, leave them motherfucking porn stars alone.
That boy Zion go crazy and then had a baby the next week. Like, right. Bro, you can't be doing that, bro. You know everybody know who you are. Like, why do you think he's just going to get away with that?
Tripping.
Well, let's get to the NFL, man. So the 49ers are now, what, 5-0, 4-0? As they just blew out the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott looked like a hot garbage can. He threw three interceptions, and he just looked confused on the sideline as he couldn't believe what was happening to him. I think that he was realizing that new contract that he thought he was going to get probably ain't going to happen, and that he's probably going to have to relocate his family after the season to a new team because it's probably not going to work out for him here in Dallas, especially after this embarrassing loss. I mean, the whole season is hinging upon this game. He plays the Chargers on, Thursday Night Football? If they lose, this is a short turnaround week, too. So you got a short turnaround to go play the Chargers, and the Chargers are at home. You turn around and you lose this game to the Chargers, they might be looking to move on to Trey Lance. Trey Lance might get his shot after all because – it's looking like the end for Dak Prescott. What are your thoughts on Dak Prescott? And should the Dallas Cowboys look to move on from him sooner rather than later?
Well, being a former Dallas Cowboy fan, let me get on this real quick. It's so frustrating being a fan of this team. I became a fan of this team in either 1990 or 1991 when I was little because my dad liked them. It just so happens when I became a fan, we started winning Super Bowls. I remember the Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin days in prime. Coach Prime, primetime Deion Sanders, my favorite player ever in football, came to Dallas and won a Super Bowl. And we won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. And everybody was talking about America's favorite team. We need to drop this delusional-ass bullshit about the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys have not won a Super Bowl in 27 years, okay? They have not won a playoff. They have won one playoff game in the last 27 years, or maybe 2, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 2. I think Tony Romo beat some team and lost to the Giants in the playoffs, and then Dak won one playoff game. The Dallas Cowboys have not done shit in the last 27 years. Let's just keep it a band. Let's keep it a stat. So to say they should move on from Dak Prescott, I mean, for me, I root for all black quarterbacks, but Dak ain't it. Dak is not getting you to a Super Bowl. Dak is not one of the top quarterbacks in the game. Still a starting quarterback in this league. Still very talented. Could be a starter anywhere else. I think he should definitely get his money somewhere else if Dallas don't want to pay him. But for them to say that Dallas is not a winning franchise anymore, like, we have to drop that. They're not – I don't see – they need to go ahead and keep Dak, in my opinion, because they're not a winning franchise. They haven't sniffed the Super Bowl in damn near 30 years. You know what I'm saying? So for them to feel like they need to make a move to another quarterback, like, why? Pay that man his money and go ahead and ride it out, because you're not – stop being delusional, Mr. Jerry Jones, Joe Biden's twin. Y'all twin 125 years old. Pay that man his fucking money and let him play with your old ass, because your team sucks. Dallas ain't winning shit no time soon. They ain't won shit in 30 years. And I don't think they're going to win shit anytime soon. So Dak, for me, is he a top quarterback? Absolutely not. I've been told everybody Dak wasn't it. When I was a fan, I was telling them Dak wasn't it. Back in 20, I think I was still at my old job, 2016, 2017, Dak is not it. But the Cowboys ain't it either. So they need to chill. Go ahead and pay that man his money.
Man, the Dallas Cowboys. The most embarrassing thing about that game was not only did you get blown out, but when you got blown out, like in the back of your mind, you were probably like, yeah, maybe we should take Prescott out. Maybe we should take him out, right? Then the quarterback you put in is from the same team that is whooping your ass right now. Like you're going to put in the backup quarterback, which I heard, because I didn't watch the game, but I heard that the fans was cheering to put the backup quarterback in. So 49ers fans wanted to see 49ers go after, like, they wanted to see, okay, you know, we got Purdy and he doing his thing right now, but was it a bad move that we got rid of this guy? Well, the perfect time to see is right now. Hey, take Dak out, put the other guy in. Y'all traded for him, put him in. I mean, just like the famous homie said, Dak ain't it, Cowboys ain't it. Cowboys fans are delusional, thinking they gonna win something every year and they haven't done anything. And it's just like, I don't, if they move on, cool. If they don't move on, it don't matter. They still gonna be in the same boat doing nothing. So Dak, if you wanna go get your money, like go to the Patriots or something like that. At least you can still play, you know. Dallas ain't giving you your money, and Dallas, it doesn't look like they really do moves to really go deep in the playoffs, if they even get to the playoffs. They're not doing moves like that. They're not trading for people. They're getting rid of their assets. They one time they had a running game, and then they were like, oh, let's not go with the running game. Let's start throwing it. Okay, yeah, let's get rid of the guy that was running for us. Let's get rid of Elliott. Yeah, let's get rid of him. And so, like, I don't know. Dallas is. I don't even know why they called America's team. I'm still trying to get it.
The Dallas Cowboys is the most lucrative franchise in the world. They bring in the most revenue. They have the largest fan base. That's just why it's called America's team.
Is that literally means there's a lot of white people that like Cowboys.
So you, when you say Jerry Jones won't make any moves, he's making more money than any other franchise in any other league in the world. And he won't spend it to go win some championships. So that tells you exactly who you're dealing with, man.
Facts. Old white money.
All that money and don't want to spend it. Like, come on, Jerry. Like, yeah, you guys got a big fan base. I don't see how their fan base is so damn loyal, because they're so sorry. And they don't even come close to winning, and have had several teams that could have won it and could have competed and could have got there. And I just don't – everybody's love, America's love for Cowboys, infatuation with the Cowboys, is just funny to me, because they really ain't shit. Like, they don't win shit. They're really not.
I mean, the Browns got better over the years more than the Cowboys have. The Bengals got better over the years than the Cowboys have. At one point in time, nobody even talked about the Miami Dolphins, and they got better. All these franchises are getting freaking better. I mean, the Seahawks have been more relevant than the freaking Cowboys have in the last couple years. I at this point, the only team that I think that is probably like worse than the Cowboys that hasn't really elevated is the Washington Commanders. But technically, they elevated because they changed their name. So at least they still done more than what the Cowboys have done.
That's for real. So, did you guys check out any of that BET Hip Hop Awards?
No, I didn't see it. I didn't see the Hip Hop Awards.
Yeah, I seen about like maybe 45 seconds of different clips. My wife was watching a little bit of it, but I wasn't. I haven't seen any of it. I don't really. They don't even do the ciphers no more. You remember they used to do the hip hop ciphers? They took the ciphers out.
That's the only reason why I watched it.
There were no ciphers. There were no ciphers, bro. So I don't know.
This was the BET Awards, the BET Hip Hop Awards.
This was the BET Hip Hop Awards. And
how do you have a Hip Hop Awards with no cipher?
Right. With 50 years of hip hop. This is 50 years of hip hop. This is a Hip Hop Awards. And you don't with have no a cipher. I don't know. So that didn't happen. They had people like Sexy Red performing. This is why I'm not watching.
Trash.
So I think Fat Joe was the host. I don't know. I guess I'll check it out with my wife, see some of it. But yeah, it was pretty much the Hip Hop Awards, man. And I was watching The Breakfast Club, and Charlamagne Tha God, he was going in on the Hip Hop Awards, and he was really going in on the best podcast of the world, best podcasts. And it was won by City Girls, Carisha. She has a Carisha Please podcast, but she had like maybe 8 episodes the first season, maybe 8 episodes the second season. And you got people like The Breakfast Club that's on every week, every day, you know what I'm saying? You got Joe Budden podcast. They're putting out 2 episodes a week. You got the Drink Champs. They're putting out all this content. And then for the second year in a row, this show that only has like 8 episodes a season wins for the second year in a row. Everybody's mad, claiming that Diddy has something to do with it, and because Diddy's dating her and all type of shit, man. So what are y'all thoughts about Carisha Please being named the podcast of the year for the second year in a row with all the podcasts out right now? That was the one. What's your thoughts?
Over the politic? Over us? She won over us? When we get on this thing almost every Wednesday to do this? I don't really even heard of anything of City Girls. And I didn't even know about this podcast till about 2 seconds ago. I don't know about this podcast. I know about Joe Budden. I know about Drink Champs. You can even do like sports ones. Why didn't you like, you didn't even want to give it to, what is it, Up in Smoke or All Smoke or whatever it is with Matt Barnes and them? You didn't want to give it to them. You didn't want to give it to HL Podcast. You didn't want to give it to the Politic Podcast. Like, you give it to, yeah, that, I feel you, Charlamagne. Like, what the hell is going on here? The BET Awards is a bunch of trash. Trash artists is from, but I really like why? This is my first time ever seeing what this lady looked like. Oh, okay, whatever. All right, cool. Yeah. I didn't even know what, like, name an episode. Somebody name an episode of one of her podcasts. Nope, nobody can do that. Okay, cool. Like, oh, there we go. Hey, man, Diddy been in a lot of stuff lately. I ain't going to talk about everything Diddy been on. But, you know, Diddy, there's some allegations and now this. I guess it is true when they say Diddy done did it, because he did something for them to win the award. But at the end of the day, I didn't watch the BET Awards. Pretty much nobody on here watched the BET Awards. So her winning that award, does it really matter? No, nobody's really watching BET. But at the end of the day, give it to Real Podcast, because, girl, I don't think that's it. And if I haven't been on your podcast really ain't shit. So yeah, that's all I gotta say.
Man, I can't really speak on their podcast, The City Girls. I haven't seen it. But you know, hearing that she has 10 episodes, you know, she's she beautiful. She beautiful. She bad. So that, you know, that has something to do with it. But to let that win podcast of the year, like, even if you don't watch something, if it's that, you're going to hear something about it. Like, I kept hearing about, you know, the Joe Budden podcast, certain things that happened on there, or $1 million worth of game with Gillian King, all the smoke, you know, all the smoke. They have the best interviews. They interview all dope people.
Kobe.
You know, so many different ones. You know, not a big fan of Charlamagne and the Breakfast Club, but you know, there's so many drink champs. Like you said, Nori. You know, he has some good interviews. Like all these great podcast, and you choose that. So yes, it feels like P. Diddy has influence. P. Diddy has major influence on the game. He always has. You know, I could definitely go into the allegations about him setting up Pac, setting up Big. You know, all the snake moves he did to people. You know, with Danity Kane, and you know, 112, and all the problems that he's had with Craig Mack, and what's the nigga that went to jail? Shine. Shine and Black Rob. The list goes on and on with P. Diddy. P. Diddy is super, super a suspect individual in the game. Like, if everybody's calling you a certain thing, everybody can't be wrong. So it definitely feels like he's had an influence on that, because it makes no sense for that podcast to win podcast of the year over all of these other great podcasts that make a whole bunch of headlines. Hollywood Unlocked, you know, that make a whole bunch of headlines. How do they win over all? That makes no sense to me. I don't understand it. I'm sorry. I ain't hating on a girl, but I just don't think that's the best podcast. Like 2 years in a row? Have y'all listened to all the smoke?
I just want to see one thing. I want to see all of her 8 episodes and see if it beats the views of Drink Champs. And actually, they had to take it down. Like, just the drink champ, when the whole Kanye West thing, that was this year, I think it was. So just that episode alone made a whole bunch of noise all over the place, where people were even trying to figure out, like, where is that footage at? And you beat that out? You beat out all the smoke when they had Kobe Bryant on there.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Right.
I don't know, man. It's just like, it's an industry thing, man. It's an award. It's an industry award. I mean, I don't think it really mean nothing to the artists at this point. So I think that they just think they could do whatever they want with it now, because nobody really takes that shit seriously. As far as P. Diddy with the whole Pac thing, TVD said that the Southside Crips got paid $1 million for the hit on Tupac.
Who were they kidding?
And Diddy gave it to a middleman. We talked about Keefy D last week. So, you know what I'm saying? As the story unfolds, man, Diddy got his, and right after that, he's given all his publishing back to all his old artists. I think he knows something coming, man. That shit getting crazy.
Something definitely coming. You can't do all that and you don't get you. Every dog has his day. I mean, we saw what happened with Suge. Suge finally got his, and look where he at. Like, Diddy is coming to an end. You can't do all this bullshit you've been doing, fucking over artists and, you know, not paying people and getting people killed and, you know, doing all the bullshit you've done. That shit all got to catch up to you at one point. And, you know, we've definitely heard the rumblings of P. Diddy doing this for years and years and years. It ain't nothing new. Everybody knew that P. Diddy was associated with the Southside Crips. Everybody knew that him and Pac had problems. P. Diddy was terrified of Suge Knight and Tupac. That's all well documented. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing that's new information. You know, Eminem and his diss against Machine Gun Kelly, one of his bars was something like the day that P. Diddy admits that he put out the hit that got Pac killed. So, you know, everybody knows that P. Diddy has had something to do. This ain't nothing new, and it's all coming to a head for that boy.
And in recent news, TMZ just got done talking to Suge about Keefe D. And Suge came out and said, well, I ain't testifying on this. And then he also said, hey, Keefe D and Orlando Anderson, they weren't even the shooters. So if Suge's coming out and saying, oh, my wife pointed something out on that. Go back and look at the picture of Tupac and Suge Knight in the car. Then it looks like Suge Knight is driving, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the picture, there's no key in the ignition. Well,
man, first, you are a conspiracy theorist, man.
Go look it up. Pull it up. Look at that picture of Tupac looking at the camera, Suge like this, and then look at the thing. There is no keys in the ignition.
I mean, that could have been, but they could have been parked. You know what I'm saying? Was that a picture where they were driving? Was it a picture when they were parked? I mean, it's something definitely suspicious about that, because I saw the interview with Suge, and Suge did say that it was only two people in the car. So if it was only two people in the car and they weren't the shooters, well, then who was the shooter then? I think Suge just trying to stir the pot because he in prison and he on bullshit. Suge is on bullshit.
Somebody, he like Big U, man. He gonna want somebody to pay him
right
for the exclusive, pay for the information. Yep. He's just trying to put out another narrative so he can spend it some way to get some pay.
Yeah, because look at the whole thing. Like, is Suge is a big motherfucker. He's 6'5", 450. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no way in the world that Suge should not have been hit. And I don't wish that he did. Don't get me wrong. But how did he not get hit if they were just spraying up a car? Why were they only targeting Tupac when Suge was there stomping out Orlando too? It was all of them, not just Tupac. So why did all of the bullets that was shot into that car hit little ass 5'8", 150-pound Tupac and not touch big ass 450 pound 6'5" ass Suge Knight? How did no bullets hit him? Hot, so they just aimed at Tupac. So it's definitely
on the other side of that, why all the bullets hit Biggie? But if Biggie is supposed to be your boy, why weren't you that day riding in the same car as Biggie was?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you were in the caravan. How did they know which one and which seat that Biggie was in?
Exactly.
And City Girls wins 2 years in a row.
And you're giving back to everyone's publishing. You just making chess moves out here, Diddy. I see it. All right, but let's get to this war, man. This war in the Middle East. So if you guys don't know, Hamas, which is a Palestinian country, they made an attack on Israel. And now Israel has set up all type of blockades on all their borders. They have attacked Gaza and is attempting to take the Gaza Strip. They're sending rockets and missiles. You see all type of videos on Instagram and all over social media. And through all of this, it has been a big cry for Black people to say, hey, pray for Israel, pray for Israel. And then there are some people that's given pushback saying, did Israel ever say pray for Black people and they was killing us? So it's like the whole debate between the Black community right now as far as anyone that wants to support Israel and America's choice to support Israel in this war. What have y'all heard about this war, man? And what do y'all think about this with the war with Ukraine going on and America backing Ukraine over there, and then you got this war going on and now we're backing Israel. If another country jumps in on either side, in either war, then we're pretty much in World War III. So we're like, anything can happen any day, and we're in World War III. And what we talked about last week was, in war times, there is no election. So I think that this is lining up right with election time. And if they find a way where it happens before election time, then we'll be stuck with Joe Biden as Commander-in-Chief or Kamala Harris as Commander-in-Chief going into a wartime in World War III. What are y'all thoughts about this?
Whew, sheesh. These are definitely scary times, honestly. Shit. Israel going to war, you know, for the Christians, this is it right here. You know, these are one of the last, you know, signs, you know, when it says the signs of times of the end, you know what I mean? It's one of the signs that's been waiting to come to pass. And it looks like this is one of the last ones right here. So we've been hearing, you know, raised as a Christian, you've been hearing, we are living in the last days ever since I can remember. With this happening, definitely kind of gives that vibe. So, as far as, you know, how we're the whole plight of black people backing certain things, I do get a little irritated because nobody fucking backs us. Like, you know, from the beginning, like, did you see the overwhelming votes of to not get reparations? No one agrees with that except for us. Nobody but us don't give a damn that we were in slavery for 400 years. No one gives a damn that we were forced to build this country and didn't get credit for it. No one gives a fuck about the segregation and the Jim Crow era. No one cares about what we went through. Like, we don't get backed. We don't get back. How many people back the police when they killing black people like George Floyd and Tamir Rice? Like, how many of the non-black people were backing us? How many other countries are backing us? So why we have to all of a sudden back people that don't back us? Like, that doesn't make any sense. The thoughts of reciprocity just goes right out the window then. Like, because it's supposed to be, okay, you give, I give. We scratch my back, I scratch your back. But if no one's backing black Americans in the plight of us, no one is coming behind us, why do we always be the first ones of, oh, pray for this, pray for that? Like, we're always doing that shit. So I think it is dangerous for America to jump in, because as Caleb said, all it takes is another country to try to get involved, and this is World War III, something they've been saying is going to happen ever since I can remember. So right along with election time in America could be another ploy for election time, another distraction. You never know what's going on in America. All we can say is, you know, everybody, man, we got to be ready for what's to come. Whatever it is, we got to be ready for it. It is what it is. Like, we ain't got no control over it. We just got to be ready for it.
Oh, man. Yeah. Like the famous homie was saying, it says in a good book, there would be wars, rumors of wars. And, you know, that's in Revelations. So that's what we seeing. It's just crazy. I really am still lost for words. It's just more so of, with everything that's going on, I'm thinking about my kids and, yo, how do I explain it to my 6-year-old daughter, and how do I explain it to my 5-year-old son without beating it around the bush and acting like, oh, the world is good, everything's good, you don't have to worry about anything, when it's not even the case. Like, hey, you know, no, in America, like, we fight in our own wars, you know, especially as colored folks. We go into war every day that we walk out of our house. Because me, myself, I don't know if I'm going to make it home every night. You know, so it's like, even for my family, we stopped saying goodbye to each other. We took the word goodbye out of our vocabulary because it's like, hey, like, I don't want to be like, tell my kids, oh, goodbye. And then that's the last words. Like, dang, my dad said bye. Like, he ain't coming back. So, like, that's, we got our own wars that we're going through. And then you got that going on. And to touch on the whole prayer thing, my take on that really has nothing to do with the war at all. It's just people in general. What always seems to irk me a little bit is people would denounce God Monday through Friday. Let's just say Monday through Friday, you don't give two licks about God or whatever the case may be. But when something bad happens, then you want the prayer. I always been the whole keep the same energy. Prayer is, who are you praying to? You're praying to God. Okay, cool. So if you don't frequent God in your everyday life, if what, I'll just leave that alone. But it's just crazy to me. I don't really got much to say on it. At the end of the day, we all one race, and that race is the human race. So to me, in a way, it's sad, you know, people dying. I heard 14 Americans got killed in this. So I just don't know. I'm still lost for words in this.
So it's kind of a slippery slope because Hamas attacked Israel first, but then Israel is the bigger country and has the bigger backing. So then when they attack back, they attack 10 times worse. And then now people are making it as if Hamas is the victim when they were the aggressor. And it's just so now it's like, yes, it's definitely terrible what Israel's doing as far as murdering the women, children, babies like they're doing. But at the same time, this was provoked by a attack that you guys, you know, instigated. So it's kind of like, as far as from the outside looking in, it's like you understand both sides. And then it's one thing is that they're both fighting over a covenant. They want Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the Holy Land, and that's where the temple is built. They said the temple was built twice, and they said that in the end times, the Antichrist will rebuild the temple for a third time, sit on the throne, and call himself God. After that, the rapture will come. Jesus will return. His people will be raptured, and the Antichrist will rule for 7 years before Armageddon. And so... dun, dun. This is literally what we read about in the Bible and almost told about like our whole lives as far as Christians. Like, this is the physical and like literal like implications of those stories. And it's crazy how if you don't believe in the Bible, then how could all these things line up just like it was prophesied for so long?
I mean, it's play devil's advocate. There is, you know, it's sick people out there that wants to make things come to pass. Like they'll read the Bible and say, "Oh, I'm about to do this." Like, you know what I mean? It's a sick world out there that's about that. You're not saying the Bible is incorrect or anything like that. I'm just saying like it's definitely people out there that, you know, have that in their mind that they want to do these things, and It's crazy how the whole wording in thou shalt not kill, killing is wrong, you know, but in God's eyes. But what are we doing here? We have countries that are getting mad at another country and just go start killing innocent people. Why are you killing women and children?
So it's literally a spiritual warfare. Like, it's spiritual. So what's going on is that the Jewish people are believed to be the Israelites, and those are the chosen people that are supposed to live in Jerusalem, the chosen land. And then we have the Muslim faction with the Palestinians, and they believe through Muhammad that they have the covenant with God or Allah, and that they're supposed to inhabit Jerusalem, and that their temple is supposed to be there, and that holy land and that covenant belongs to them. And then you have people like Kyrie Irving that posts a video of Hebrew to Negroes, and that video states that we're the chosen people, Black people, and that we're the ones that are supposed to inhabit that holy land, and that is the covenant is with us. So literally everyone is arguing that we are the chosen people, and that that holy land or that chosen land belongs to us as a people. This is who we are. And this is the whole argument in all of the religions right now, is that everyone feels that they have that covenant with God. And if you ever watch the movie Zeitgeist talks about 32 other deities that had the same exact story as Jesus. It's like these religions literally like plagiarized from each other and all have the same prophecies and the same rules and same aspirations. It's like politics.
The crazy thing about it, to me at least, is they're all fighting over the same thing of who's the chosen people. But if you do go off of what the Bible says, it says it in Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, you are saved. And then the Bible also talks about that Jesus died on a cross for Jews and Gentiles. Gentiles is just the word that they use for anybody other than Jewish. So what that is meaning is it don't matter what you are, long as you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, you are part of his family. So, like, if I'm coming to you like, oh man, but I'm the chosen people. Well, does it really matter? I got adopted into the family too. So, like, you get the same. I don't know, man. It's crazy.
I think with that, it's significant for the simple fact that it's a couple of references in the Bible of, you know, I think one of them, it says many are called but few are chosen. God's chosen people are the special people to him. God has people that he ranks ahead of other ones, and that's the whole thing of it. And you know, that's how, you know, this world has gone, especially our country with the Europeans and what they did to, you know, Black people. You know, seeing that we were the chosen people, they were jealous and try to take that away from us, and which caused, you know, a whole bunch of mayhem. I mean, it's hard to believe that we're all one human race when at one point we weren't even a full man. We were considered 3/5 of a man, not 60% of a man. Mm-hmm. So were we part animal? So it's like, I think that people feel wanting to feel like God's special and chosen people. I think people get that twisted. They're a little jealous of who really is and want to take that throne and take that title of who God's chosen and special people are.
I think that it's kind of ironic, because if you look at the whole start of this whole Israelite thing, it all started with Moses. And guess what? The Pharaoh had a dream that Moses was going to come. So he had all the male babies killed, and they sent the baby down the river, and the Pharaoh's daughter found it and kept the baby. And that's why he was raised. So he wasn't the Pharaoh of the story's like brother. He was like his nephew, raised right by his sister. Mm-hmm. And the only reason that he even ended up there is because they tried to kill all the babies to stop the prophecy from coming forth. So I think that a lot of this stuff is being put forth to stop the prophecies from coming to fruition. And when in all actuality, you end up making them come true. What is that? I think it was Macbeth with, I don't know what, where it was like, yeah, you going to kill your father and be with your mama or something. And he tried to avoid it and they tried to send him away. I forget the whole story, but everything that happened ended up happening because they tried to avoid it from happening.
Right, right.
And I think that's exactly what we're seeing right now, is that this world is like trying to steer the world in its own way. In actuality, it's just like, it's like the Loki series, man. Loki coming out, you got He Who Remains, and he's at the end of time. And he's the one pulling all the strings. And he's like, everything that you did, I guided that path for you. That's exactly what God is doing, leading us right into the end of biblical times, man. Let's get some shout-outs before we get up out of here.
Yes, sir. Shout-out to the Politic Forum. Shout-out to everybody in media and everybody doing their thing. Shout-out to everybody that's continuing to watch. Shout-out to Miss Politic and Jade. She's always on here supporting us, talking to us and everything. So shout out to the brothers that come on here every week. And shout out to the world, man. Shout out to the world. Y'all niggas need to chill. And make sure y'all like, subscribe. Make sure y'all like, subscribe, and share the Politic and Podcast every weekend, every week. And get us up there nominated so we can win. Not no city girls and shit.
Facts. I like that. But I ain't talking to Diddy, though. But shout out to you brothers. It's always an honor jumping on here, talking to you guys, getting sharpened with the mind. Shout out to everybody that is watching, everybody that supports, everybody that shares this out, everybody that is doing something and not being stagnant, getting off the boat of average. And shout out to my wife, shout out to my kids, shout out to people that are making a difference, trying to be a difference in this crazy time and this crazy world that we're going through. You know, it's hectic, but don't go bury your head under the pillow and don't do anything. That's not what you're supposed to do. Always remember, fear stands for false evidence appearing real. So sometimes, whether it's the media or people or stuff, they try to use fear tactics to stop you from doing something. But sometimes that fear is just a false evidence. It's in here just to keep you stagnant. So keep going, and that's all I got.
I don't know. I mean, if you see what Yah Church says, it says trying is doing without perfection. And I think that's what everyone needs to get to, is that you need to know what you don't know. And I think that until you actually get out there and try, you will not actually know what is your strength, what do you lack. What do you know? What don't you know? What do you have? What do you like about this? What don't you like about it? There's so many different questions that get answered by trying. You fail your way to success. So every time you try, you're one step closer to success. And I think that a lot of people aren't successful because they aren't trying. Every day that I wake up, even if I fail today, I'm successful because I know what not to do tomorrow. So now I'm one step ahead of where I was yesterday. You always got to keep one foot in front of you. You know what I'm saying? A famous Will Smith speech was, you know what I'm saying? If you're trying to build a brick wall, don't look up and try to build the wall. Focus on laying a brick a day. Because after you lay a brick a day, once you'll look up and you'll have that brick wall, man. So that's what we're doing over here, man. We laying a brick a day over here at Politic and Broadcasting. We got the Politic and Forum. Check that out, man. Blogs, content. Check out the YouTube page. Follow us on Instagram, Politicking Broadcasting, the Politicking Forum. You can find all our podcasts on all DSPs under Politicking Radio. Man, we coming strong. We got a lot of plans for y'all for the rest of this 2023 and 2024. We coming out the gate with a bunch of shit. So, man, get ready, man. It's time to level up. You know what I'm saying? One thing that me and my wife focus on is that every year we want to be better than where we were last year. So every year we try to assess ourselves and be like, okay, no matter what we did, no matter how we are right now in the moment, we have to be better than we were last year, because that's the key. It's constant growth, man. You got to keep going. So I don't know what you're going to do with your life, but I'm going to get to it, man. Politicking the podcast. Yeah. You wanna stop me? You're going to have
smoking Dank Sinatra, that's all gas. On the hunt in a tall grass. Intercepting every ball pass, then I run it back, that's a TD. Check the scoreboard, y'all last. We up one, you see me. Pussy niggas wanna talk about it, go to Hellcat, no demon. I be politicking on your broadcast at the red carpet like the famous homie. Ask your bitch, really famous homie, and you know it's in me. It ain't on me. So creative like I made Adobe. I've been